make wine and we he my nigga.
Yes.
Well, list the reasons.
That's about it. Well,
that's some good parts.
So funny.
A bit I can never do that I thought of was like, God is a nigger. He didn't raise that boy. He wasn't there for him. Look at him. He hangs out with a bunch of deadbeats. They all
died violently.
Shot down in the prime of his life.
Only made it to 33.
Someone had the bit about Jesus, like his, he didn't have a girlfriend or something because she didn't believe the stories. Like, he just disappeared for the weekend. And he's like, well, I died and actually came back. Yeah, okay. Like, I forgot. Someone has a bit about that.
So you can resurrect, but you can't text me.
Yeah.
You were so funny last week. This is probably the only time I'll ever see this.
She was like, his ego needs to get no bigger.
I listened to that again. I listened to the podcast again.
No, it was,
and then I played it for a couple buddies
so
at work.
So funny.
While I was working at a
store. Yeah.
That was good.
He ain't been doing his thing, y'all.
It took me out of the conversation I was having, and I was like, this is so fucking funny.
I love thinking about his son's dick. I gotta change it to pedophiles ruined, naked pictures of children.
Let me dissuade you if you like pedophiles.
Yeah, if you're a pedophile, please take a moment to dissuade you. First of all, they fuck kids.
I don't even like bitches that are 20. The fuck are you gonna talk to a 6-year-old about?
That's real talk.
What makes you think you can get what you want out of life?
There was an old myth apologies where we found out pedophiles were like branding kids' food, so other pedophiles knew, like, oh, you could punk that kid, you could get him. Like, what are they branding it with? Gluten free? I am an honor roll student. Please molest me.
You know what's crazy? All the like, all like as. Like,
oh,
protective as parents are now.
Not playing at all.
That kid's still getting molested.
I just started.
Like, they swear
February
up and down, like, your kids are gonna get molested.
That's how I did
dude,
it. I never had a book or a teacher.
It's usually
or anything.
By someone
they know. Like,
what
do you.
And was like, oh, this sounds
watch
like.
Watch out for strangers.
Yeah.
No, watch out for that on
YouTube. Is
what the fuck? What are you.
Some people on YouTube are better than others.
Well, have you seen Abducted in Plain Sight on Netflix?
Hey, man, don't talk to me about this.
I literally have no idea at all times.
And he flirted with
that little guy.
I can't even think that that's a real story.
My
girlfriend
in 2009 got
it
for me.
I have this little like zipper bag that I keep my guitar picks and my dongle in all the time.
Her mother was married to a gay. Alright, so the agreement was he could sleep with other men, but it had to be in a threesome with her, with the mother. She was also allowed to have side levels. But she had an S&M dude that
they
was
going to
hold
on to these
forever.
I need a guitar pick. Shit, I have some
big
girl.
Dead to
gap.
Dead to gap.
At some point, she tried to pimp her daughter out. This dude gave the daughter and was like, your mom told me I could get that. So I believe fuck the whole family, because there's some fucked up families out there.
I don't believe in that shit. That shit was crazy as fuck, dude. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, man. Otter, take us out of here. Where can people find
you know
your music?
Wonderwall? No, I'm just kidding.
That
song is like 14 minutes
long. I used
to know
long. How to play an acoustic version of Bitches Ain't Shit. Don't remember it anymore, but I used to know it, and it always made me so.
You guys
want to
hear some Coldplay?
Yeah. Everything was yellow.
I mean, a total hipster, but that first album was dope as fuck.
Coldplay's got good music.
Do you guys want to promote the Happy Corner?
Yeah, check out the Happy Corner podcast with KB.
Oh shit, you're recording?
Yeah, man.
What the hell?
Yeah, he said his shit right there when I started saying Jesus is my nigga, because he is.
So you're on an episode where you talk about bowel movements. Stephanie Carroll, if you want to know how that dumper works, go check out the Happy Corner.
If you eat ass and want to know if it's
what
plain,
that dumper do,
you'll find out
detail,
on that episode.
I describe
Amy
my
Blaze
bowel
got some tips for the young ladies.
Snappers.
We got Brad Stupak of the Stupendous Podcast. Shout out to Lamp God over at the Brad is Stupid Podcast.
Shout out to the Fuck Dante Nero Show.
give it up for your next comedian, Ian Ellis! Yeah.
Fuck you, Jason. I'm way too high to be here. Which means I'm probably wasting your time. I apologize if any of you are real artists. Came here to work your craft. I'm stealing time away from you. Because I'm high and I feel like it. We get the same stage time. Guys, it's an important time to be on the right side of history. All your social media, Facebooks and your Instagrams, you don't want to get caught supporting dumb ideas. Stuff that's going out of fashion. That's why I want you to know that I believe the gays. I believe them. It's not a choice. If there's any fellas here that are straight and you think you could just choose to go suck a dick, it's just as good as getting some pussy. It just means you're gay. The other reason I believe the gays is statistics. Statistically, more people are gay than monogamous. More people are like, I like dick, than I love you forever. I guess that means they probably mean it more than you do, so... Statistically. I know why people are scared of the gays. So they're like Jews. They got like way too much power compared to their portion in the population. They're like 1%, but everything's gay. Every white woman has a sassy gay friend. All of them. They don't even do gays right. How come there's no angry dykes on TV? Where's that hairy bitch at? You want to talk about misogynist? Dykes fucking hate bitches, man. Put that bitch on TV. But Ellen is great. She's a superhero. Definitely wasting your time tonight. Your haircut is stupid. Came in here with got out of bed hair.
Yep.
That's what you're getting pussy with?
Right.
So the female next to you, you're trying to attract her with that? You brushing that bed hair in there? You guys want to observe the mating habits of open micers? Stage Tinder. So you get some pussy. She's clapping because she has a pussy to give away. She's the pussy lottery tonight. All you gotta do is be funny or pretty attractive. There's a cleft in your chin, your joke's are negotiable. You don't have to know that much about Monty Python. She'll introduce you later. Just fuck her good. She wants someone to eat her box out. None of you are clapping for your box eating game. You know, a room full of white people. Everyone eating pussy anymore? I wonder if marriage rates are dropping. You can't have a job and you don't eat pussy? Bedhead? Wake up looking at that, it better smell like pussy. There's no financial future in dating you, so why should she fuck you? You eat pussy, right?
Sure.
Mustache, right. It's all night. Thank God. That's a lot. He's doing a great job. Are you a celebrity? Why are you hiding? Is that Jennifer Aniston? Fucking Revlon model is hiding in the back. You like when dudes eat your pussy? I know what dudes, it just got out of bed. I'm dying to eat some pussy. Alright, my name's Ian Ellis, I love you, good night.
Ian Ellis, everybody, give it up for him. Guys, let's keep this energy going. Let's get some clapping going. Clap with me. Clap, 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 clap. Your next comedian is Ryan Andrews.
Yay!
Obviously, we're going through a spiritual evolution right now, and that involves a lot of suffering on everybody's part. And that's where growth comes. I mean, we'd all like to increase pleasure and minimize pain, but the truth is, suffering, even collective suffering that we're going through, is often the earmark that some real change is happening. When I look at what's happening with Me Too, my heart breaks basically for everybody involved. I think it's interesting. I did a radio show where we were talking about Louis, and it was so interesting to me to see the comedians that saw Louis as a symbol of artistic freedom. They were sort of arguing, he doesn't have to apologize. And then I was saying, you're absolutely right, he doesn't. But wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it be great if he did? Because like it or not, he's sort of become a symbol. And I know he never asked for that, but he's become a symbol. And if he shared his growth, and by the way, I'm a Louis optimist. I think he's capable of doing this. And if he sees us, I hope that he will. And I'm hopeful that he will. I actually think he might. If he uses this platform and this becoming of a symbol to share his growth and his suffering and his development and his evolution, like it or not, I know he never asked for that. There's probably millions of people that would take that in a positive way, that would kind of unhinge some of their calcified spots and maybe they'd grow with him. Does he have to do that? No, but this is my point. So to these comedians, Louis represents nobody tells me what I can talk about, right? Because he went back on stage and he was making all these sort of dark jokes. And people were like, why isn't he talking about his abuse and what he did? And they were like, he doesn't have to. And I was like, ah, okay, so to them, he's a symbol of liberty, agency, artistic freedom. Great, fine. To other people though, and we need to sit in the middle of these things, not either or, it needs to be both and. To other people, he represents abusers. And page one of the abuser handbook, especially if it's in your family, is if you're abused, and he feels like he's in our family, doesn't he? He's like a relative. He's in our homes. He's on our phones. He's in our ears. He's part of us. And so he feels familial. And if you're going to do something like that, and we all know it, and if an abuser acts like nothing happened, that's page one of the abuser's handbook, is to be at Thanksgiving and just act like it didn't happen. So you're opening up a cosmic wound. So to this side, Louis becomes a symbol of deceit and abuse. Where's the truth? It's somewhere in the middle. Because on this side, I see people going, I feel the fear going, if this is how we're going to whip this person for his ugliness, and his ugliness is the right word, how are they going to respond to my ugliness? Maybe if it's not even of the same caliber, but it makes us afraid. Is this what we're going to do? Are we going to beat people up? Are we going to spit on them and shame them and strip them of everything? We get afraid. But I also, my heart breaks obviously for the people that are going, this is bringing up a global unconsciousness. When I see him, I see my abuser. That breaks my heart. But the truth is definitely somewhere in the middle. And it's a lot quieter, I think, than we're being. Because it's real fun to ring all the bells and bang all the pots. And it feels like we're casting out demons. But I think Martin Luther King was right when light casts out darkness. You know what I mean? And we feel so impotent and futile, especially with the president talking about grabbing pussies. And we're like, we can't seem to affect that. Well, let's marshal ourselves. Can we clean up this? And I hope we can, and I hope we change. And then I also can, I'm trying to also understand both sides. And I think that's important. Because we're a very binary world. We love being either or. You're either Red Sox or Yankees. You see it even in sexuality. You're either gay or straight. You're either male or female. And this fucking world, especially when psychological wounds are at play, is so much more mysterious than we're giving it credit for. And we want to walk around and go like, no, Louis is a monster, let's burn him alive. And then they're like, Louis didn't do anything wrong. Okay, guys, let's settle down and go, what now? What next? How are we going to change and grow for this? I have a daughter. How are we going to change for this? I don't need a daughter, by the way. Fuck that. I take that back. I cared before I had a daughter. Fuck that shit. I hate when pastors have a gay son and then they become pro-gay. Fuck that shit. Be converted before the conversion experience. That's a big, you know, like Green Book, you go on a road trip with a black guy and you become less racist. Fuck that. We don't have time for you to go on a road trip with every transgender or sexual abuse victim. Be converted now. Start loving now. And then rationalize it later. We don't have time. There's too many people that need love and understanding for you to go on 75,000 road trips. You woke up in a conundrum. You were born into a conundrum. And I don't care how we label it or lower our anxiety by going like, well, it's this and it's not this and it's that. Let's just talk about this shared mystery that we're soaking in. I want to be careful here talking about depression because I had a friend who was very depressed, and I remember talking to him out of love, trying to explain some of these ideas, some of these ways that we can think and interpret our suffering. And sometimes when someone is suffering, the last thing they want is for you to go, hey, there's another way to look at this. Maybe that's later. None of this is to be imposed on anybody, and I don't want to belittle or just say like, you know, your brain is, that's really, it's your attachment to your desire to not be depressed that's causing you. No, none of that. That is not what I'm saying at all. We can give space to someone's depression. We can love them. We can honor. We can just eat some noodles. We can watch some movies, whatever it is. We can just sit and not talk. That's real stuff. It's a real, I don't know if you call it a disorder or a disease, but it's happening, and we don't need to coach people through with ideologies, right? That being said, if you're in a place to talk about this, usually when you're not depressed, I found it helpful to step inside what I call the witness. And we other traditions call that your soul. I believe science might just call it the phenomenon of your base consciousness. If you think about when you were born, I have a baby girl now, she's not thinking in ideas yet. She doesn't know she's American. She doesn't know she lives in California. Just like a ladybug doesn't know it's Italian. You know what I mean? It's just awareness. So she's just there. But slowly over time, we build up what Jung and others called the false self, right? So we have this story of who we are, and I'm a man, and I'm a comedian, and I'm a tall man, and I have big teeth and all these things, and I like the first two Batman movies, and I don't drink coffee, or whatever it is. So you build up this identity. And oftentimes, in that identity is where things like suffering are occurring, sometimes. I can't speak for everybody. But I will say that for me, when I've been depressed, and I get depressed, I have irrational bouts of anxiety. I have random, like FedEx deliveries of despondency. Just like, I didn't order this. Oh, well, keep the PJs on. Cancel everything you're doing today. It's time to take a sad shower. Like, that happens to me, right? So I'm speaking for me, with full respect to other people's processes and their experience. When I'm depressed, if I can get into that quiet space, it's the space that's noticing the thoughts. So if you think, I'm hungry, we always just think that I'm hungry is the thought and in the animal, and then we eat, and it goes, thank you. Who's talking to who, really? I would say that the thought is talking to your awareness, your base awareness, your witness. So that's what's watching your thoughts. And if you can get into that, you see how impartial and unswayed by your life circumstance this witness really is. It's just there. It's neutral. It's just isness. It's just this. And it's just watching. It's compassionate. It's involved. It's invested. but it's not really as connected and tied to the events of your life story as you are, as your false self is. So when those depressions happen, I found it helpful, and this is something Ram Dass taught me, is instead of identifying with the depression and saying, I am depressed, although that is how I might say it to somebody, what I'm thinking is, there is depression. I am noticing it's gonna make me cry. I'm seeing depression. And you can almost, it's not denial, it's real and it's valid, but it's a little bit, you're a little bit less in the quicksand and you go, wow, this is Ram Dass. He's like, I don't know if people get out of depressions like this one. Look at this one. This is too much. This is, but who is noticing it? And Ram Dass asks, is the part of you that's noticing the depression depressed? Now, I asked my friend that who was depressed, and he said yes. So not everybody is there. Not everybody can get there. In my experience, later he did, by the way. We talked about it later. In my experience, I've had success in getting into the place that goes, there is an impartial part of me that's witnessing whatever the feeling is. And I can rest in that. Ram Dass talks about it being like a candle that's inside that isn't swayed or flickered by the wind. It's in a quiet place. And when you go in there, you don't resist the depression. You give it space. You observe it. You don't identify with it. You honor it. Sometimes you medicate it. Sometimes you go to therapy. I'm not saying we need to sit in a cave and heal ourselves, but I am saying that there is some relief to be had in not identifying as I'm sad. I do it all the time. There is sadness. I'm anxious. There is anxiety. Look at Pete. He's anxious. This is every great spiritual mystic through all time. They've all been doing this. St. Francis called his body his corpse. He was like, I drag my corpse around. My corpse wants to eat. You know what I mean? I don't like it because it kind of puts it down. But I just go like, I say to Valerie all the time, I go, Pete's frustrated. You know what I mean? Not, I'm frustrated. This is real. My parents should listen more. My dad still wants me to be a baseball player. Oh, look at Pete go. Ah, and then you're there. And you're just like, you're not being flickered by the wind, because that's always going to be there. And you and with practice, with meditation, with mindfulness, and with contemplation and study, literally like reading about it, talking about it like this, when we're in it in real time, not necessarily later. At the beginning, it goes like this. You're depressed, and then later you look back and go, oh, I think I was still this watching me. And then with practice, when it's happening, you can go, I can witness this in real time. I can go, that's happening. It's a phenomenon. It's real. It's to be honored. I understand. But it's not who I really am.